This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings unless sports preempt us. That's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 3 hours to spend together. If it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine, and we'll play requests as well. I was actually going to devote a portion of the show to Sam Moore of Sam and Dave, who passed away after a well-lived long life, 89 years old. But I already queued up bumpers, all of your requests, so I think we'll do that tomorrow night. I'll try to remember. Yeah, sometimes that's the bottom line to what it's all about. All right, so number of things, as usual. I'm a little surprised the phones are going to work tonight, and I do believe they are, because I accidentally left them plugged in at the other studio, but apparently they can ring at two places at once, or so we'll find out. We tried to test it as much as possible, but if you talked to me, well, then it worked, and if you didn't, well, sorry about that. I guess I'll just prattle on. 888-876-5593. That's 8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. So we have valuable 1980 collectibles. And yeah, so if you're a real pack rat. And the bottom line to collectibles in general is that if it is something that is in rare supply to begin with, you know, like a mistake on a coin, something like that, a record that absolutely flopped. Well, there's no shortage of those, of course, but some in particular, that's going to have value. But if there were a ton of them, probably not as much. But that said, the folks who appraise these kind of things are putting out a list of 10 valuable 1980s collectibles, and maybe you've got some. The 1980D Lincoln Cent, that's being sold right now for about $2,500 with other pennies of the decade with varying errors in characteristics fetching thousands of dollars. So if you collect old pennies and have a 1980D Lincoln penny, that might be worth $2,500. 1986 Bo Jackson rookie card. And baseball collectors already know this, but if you happen to have stacks of cards in your basement and you want to sift through them, the 1986 Topps traded Bo Jackson rookie card Mint Bo Nose is worth upwards of about $1,300. The 1988 Happy Holidays Barbie. And if you're saying, I don't remember Happy Holidays Barbie, well, that's why it's worth something. Barbies have been around for decades, but there are a few from the 1980s that are worth a pile of cash, and the thing they all have in common is they didn't put many of them out. And the 1988 Happy Holidays Barbie is one of them, $2,000. Other Barbies of the time, such as the 1980s Barbie and the Rockers doll, aren't worth quite as much. There were a lot of those, but you could still get about $75. Not worth keeping, let's face it. 1980s Apple memorabilia, the rare Macintosh Plus advertising board from the 80s right now is getting over $1,500 on Etsy. Other vintage Apple items, or computers, as far as that knows, can be worth a pretty penny. Yes, like those tape drives. No, they were worthless then. They're worthless now. 1982 P-Error Quarter. This is another coin. It's a rare P-Error on the 1982 Quarter, double die heavy on In God We Trust. It's worth $300 right now on eBay. which is a lot more than the 25 cents you it was valued at when you got it, if you have it. So if you collect quarters, look for that. The 1984 original Teenage Mutant Ninjas Turtles number one comic book. And that introduced many firsts to the Ninja Turtle series. The Wise Splinter, the Turtles' main nemesis, Shredder, among many other firsts. Now, here again, no one knew who the heck this was. This was the first one of the kind, and might have been the only one of the kind, right? So there was a very limited run when it was released. So right now, if you got one, figure it's worth $3,000. 1980s Cabbage Patch Dolls? Oh, man. Yeah, there had to be millions of them produced, right? Well, there are certain limited editions or rare versions that are fetching over $1,000 in good condition. So if you've got a bunch of them around, and particularly if you think they're rare, you might want to find out what you got. Could be some value in that. The 1985 Super Mario Brothers Nintendo game, that's worth about $1,200 on eBay right now. NES revolutionized the gaming industry. If you have a rare edition, particularly one in mint condition, let's face it, Super Mario Brothers game probably not in mint condition because it was played a lot, but if you have one, you could get a lot of money from collectors. The 1982 Astronaut B Pez dispenser. It was designed for the 1982 World's Fair, and there were only a few of them ever made. It's so rare that one of these sold for $32,000 about 20 years ago. So if you have a Pez collection and you happen to have a 1982 Astronaut B, this might be worth, at this point in time, that was $32,000 in 2006, this might be worth, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000. Yeah, look around, 1982 Astronaut B. 1980s Red Sea Crossing Atari game, and that is fairly rare enough that you can get about $10,000 online from buyers and collectors. So it's from Atari 2600. So there you go. So there's 10. Now, a day doesn't go by that somebody doesn't ask me about their vinyl records that they found in the basement, that they got from their grandparents, whatever. The bottom line is, if you recognize the artist, they're probably not worth anything. Because there again, you may have some great Beatles album, but you know how many millions of those Beatles albums were pressed? Right, so there's not a lot of value. It's when something, that they pressed four known copies of. Now, that's where the real money comes in. Now, of course, in some cases, there are holy grails in this, too, if you're really a vintage vinyl collector, in that, the Five Sharp Stormy Weather on 45, that could be worth $1 million. That doesn't exist. See, that's the thing. For years, people thought it did. It came out on 78. It's on shellac. But there was never a 45 version. But the story was, there was. And people went around forever. And, of course, there's plenty of bootleg copies. So if you've got one, unlikely. But if you've got one in your collection, no, it ain't the real deal. But obviously, nobody's going to get rich on that because it didn't exist. And you find that occasionally, that things are going for an awful lot of money. But you'll never find them because they actually didn't exist. But in terms of getting a few $1,000, a lot of those did exist. Yeah, boom boxes are becoming nostalgic. They're heavy. Vintage models with unique designs and features can be worth a lot to collectors. So if you are a pack rat and you got a lot of junk, well, yeah, this might be time to cash in. Of course, if you're really a pack rat, you're not getting rid of anything. I understand. 888-876-5593 is 8888-ROLLYE. As usual, James sent us a bunch of stories. Oh, one of them. Oh, my. Yeah, you think you know every ploy when it comes to robberies, of convenience stores, for instance. You think you know everything the perpetrators might come up with. Think again. Do I have a story for you? All right, so while we're at it, I think it's time, I hope so anyway, to mention the CC Pocket Radio. I know Adam said we were going to do that this hour, and hopefully this is the time. This is a great radio. And by the way, ccradio.com, that's the place to go, ccradio.com. You know, one thing the LA fires have done recently is shown how important it is to have a really great radio, because in some cases, that was the only reliable coverage people were going to get. They certainly weren't going to be using their smartphones in certain areas, and they certainly weren't going to be online, but radios, yeah. Now, of course, Bob Crane, many decades ago, was as disgusted as many of us were over the state of radio reception. The radios that were coming out in the 70s and the 80s, they're the crappy tuners, period. You couldn't pick anything up. So he said, I can do better. And boy, did he. Not only with tuning on one radio, but a ton of radios with different features that are just great. And one of the neatest is the CC Pocket Radio. It's one of the most popular pocket radios on the market for a really good reason. Like all of the radios, it's got unbeatable AM and FM reception, period. And it's got crisp, clear, clean audio for its size, and that's on the built-in speaker. They also include ECC earbuds, and that's amazing quality. But just to hold it in your hand, you get pretty darn good quality out of this radio, I'll tell you what. And like I say, man, it will pick up just about anything. If it's over your head, this radio is picking it up. And it's neat because not only is it really small and portable, but it is digital. It's got 5 memory buttons, so you can instantly select your favorite station, do some presets. Now, it also makes a great emergency radio because it has a lighted dial and the NOAA weather band with emergency alert. It's very lightweight. It's very durable. It's very easy to hold. And it also has a pocket clip. It's ready to go anywhere. And it truly is a neat radio. I wouldn't want to leave home without it. You can go to ccradio.com anytime. ccradio.com. Look at the CC Pocket Radio. I think you're going to love it. And if you can't go online, well, operators are standing by. 24-hour customer service, and it's just great. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They'll answer all your questions. They'll mail you a hard copy of the catalog if you can't go online, so you'll have one right in your mailbox. And, of course, you can order, and it's just terrific. But if you can go online, this catalog is a resource. Not only great products, but great information about radio and radio reception as well. You know, it's available, a lot of the products anyway, are available at BuyMart and Amazon and REI. But for the real deal, before you do anything, go to ccradio.com and look around. I think you're going to be knocked out, and I think you'll really like the CC Pocket Radio. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. Walking in Rhythm, 1974 on Fantasy. Fran and Austin wanted to hear that, so that's the first one of 11 of requests you'll hear tonight. Boyer in Nashville is coming up next. All right, so before we get to James, although I probably should bring him in now because this is one of the stories that he sent to me. I'm glad that I wasn't eating a meal at the time. All right, so James, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hello, how are you? I'm sorry for the few of them. Seemed a little bit out there.
Well, this is absolutely out there, and I'm very glad that I was not eating. And by the way, I did get your card. Thank you very much. That was very kind of you. All right. Now,
you're welcome.
So, you know, we think that we've seen it all. I mean, how many ways can you hold up the convenience store? You know, how many ways can you basically steal from the dollar store? So here we have a Florida couple. They decided they'd come up with an act that would cause them to get away with theft. Well, I'm sure many people have come up with many ideas to do that. And in this case, the woman of the duo was going to distract the personnel at the Family Dollar store, while the male of the duo was going to make off with the cart. Well, she did a particularly good job of this. They were in the store. She manages to squat and defecate. Right there, defecate. Well, of course, obviously everybody in the store wants to clean this up. They don't notice that the guy has left with just a cart full of things. They figure about $500 worth of merchandise, including Gain, Tide, and Clorox. You'd think they would need that to clean up what this woman did. And so, she absolutely did this. And I'll tell you, James, I was stunned on this, especially since they had cameras. I don't think they picked up the entire defecation incident, at least God, I hope not, but they certainly did pick up the faces of both the man and the woman. There were employees, just like I say, doing everything they could to clean up a putrid mess while the couple took off in a white Ford van. So this is Polk County, Florida, and anyone with information is asked to call. So this is just too over the top, and I would hope that they could not only charge these people when they find them, and they'll find them with obviously theft, but more to the point, this has got to be some type of a biohazard they've created.
Yeah, when I saw it, I said, are you kidding me? I mean, it's just simply, okay, can you imagine if this had taken place 5 years earlier, 4 or 5 years earlier? Well, it would have been even crazier.
Well, it could happen anytime. That's the interesting thing. But I guess it's good news that nobody, as far as that we know anyway, thought of it before this. But that makes you wonder, as they're sitting there at home planning their larcenous ways, at what point does one say, well, honey, if you defecate, then I mean, what? And by the way, I guess I'm very jealous of the woman's plumbing. Most of us can't do that on command.
Yeah, I'm like, usually it's an accident. It truly is an accident.
Well, and that's unfortunate.
And you'll feel embarrassed.
Right, no, that's a horribly unfortunate situation, and we know that those things can happen. But clearly, this was not an accident, so how she managed to defecate on command, I'll tell you what, they don't need to rob places. They could probably sell some concoction that people would buy who are constipated. I don't know. But what I do know is that it's just so over-the-top awful that you really got to wonder how they planned this and why they thought, A, that it would work, and B, that it was a good idea.
Yeah, but unfortunately, I think it was Phineas T. Bonham said so many, many years ago that nobody ever went broke. Underestimating the taste of the American.
Yeah, I guess not. Then we also have a sobering warning about AI voice cloning. And the interesting thing about this article was that in the surveys that they've done, 46% of Americans are not aware that AI voice cloning exists, let alone what it is. And it does exist. And even if you're not online with videos and things of that nature, if you've got kids, most likely they are. And we've got the ability now to, through cloning, to absolutely mimic the sound of anyone's voice. Doesn't matter who it is. Well, so now what's going on is that, of course, calls are going to people, you know, hi, grandma, this is so-and-so, you know, your granddaughter, I need this or whatever. And of course, most people, even people who are fairly, well-seasoned looking at the fact that they know all the scams that exist, it's very easy to fall for this, particularly when you don't know this exists. And so I'm seeing more and more stories of this nature that are just frightening as all get out, and this is only going to grow.
Something was telling me about there was like a case, like if somebody calls you and claims to be like either some gas company or something that you think is sort of quote unquote familiar. You should think of Norman.
Well, as far
as guys are, and then what they want you to do is say yes.
Yeah, of course.
If you say yes, then they won't have your voice.
Right, right. And then what that was used for most often in the past was switching long-distance services, but I'm sure it's been used for a number of other things now. But in those scams, the difference is that yes, it may sound like your bank is calling or the electrical company is calling or something like that, but it doesn't sound like it's your child or your grandchild or something of this nature. And it's important that people understand that the technology exists. It doesn't take more than a sentence or so from a video that somebody uploads to be able to clone that voice. And so there's a number of things. The easiest thing to do is right now get with everybody in your immediate family and come up with a trust word. Come up with something that only they know and you know, and that if ever they're in trouble, they have to say whatever that is. And so I think that it's too easy to be compromised. And I think if you do have that type of a trust word, at the very least, and you use it, at the very least, you'll be tipped off if the person at the other end who is impersonating your loved one doesn't know what it is.
Yeah. And it's pretty sad when you think these guys are so talented with a computer that they could be used it for other things that would be much better.
Well, isn't that always the truth? Hang on a moment. Don't go away. 888-876-5593. Join us on WGN Radio.
Singing his song, all the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, blow, rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock up tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise or loud, the big black crow, flap of their wings, sing and go, bird, go, rockin' Robin. Rockin' Robin, go rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock tonight. Blow! A pretty little raven at the birdman stand, talking about the pop and it was grand. He started going steady and bless my soul, he out popped the buzzard and the Oreo. He rocks in the treetop all the day long, popping and a popping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin,
Rockin' Robin. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original Boyer in Nashville. I think preferred to hear it by God knows what, the Jackson 5. But I said, I'll play the original, and I did. Rockin' Robin. 1958 on Class. Bobby Day, of course, famous for that, and a few other things as well. Unfortunately for Bobby, he didn't write it. Leon Rene, the owner of Class Records, and quite an accomplished writer and label owner himself, but he wrote it. And under the pseudonym of Jimmy Thomas, he also produced it. And that was Bobby Day's biggest hit as far as that goes. But like I say, not only for sure. And the interesting thing about that, Leon Rene was such an interesting guy, not a young guy at the time. This is going to be important to our story. He was born in 1902 and he died in 1982. But here is the deal. No one renewed the copyright for Rockin' Robin, so it is in public domain. All right, 888-876-5593. We're talking with James. We will get to Eduardo, but James on the South Side about his 9,482 stories. If I wasn't feeling ill before reading about the defecation story, I realize I'm never eating leftovers again. 20-year-old dies from fried rice syndrome. Well, this is an interesting turn of events, to say the least. And I did not realize that. Now, granted, the idiot, and I'm sorry to speak ill of the dead, but the idiot cooked up 5 days of food in advance and left it out on the counter in the case of pasta. Now, I guess he didn't think the pasta needed to be refrigerated. I never thought about this either way, but something tells me I would probably go for shove it in the frizz. Well, he didn't. 5 days later, he eats it. Now, at first, he thought, you know, it tastes a little weird, but maybe it's just the tomato sauce I'm using. And so he continued to consume it down. And after he did, he headed out to do some sporting stuff with friends. But after about 30 minutes, he just had to go home. He was nauseous, had abdominal pain, he had a headache. He was experiencing diarrhea and vomiting. So he drank some water and he thought, well, I'll just sleep it off. Well, that really was the big sleep. The next day, his parents discovered him dead. And so apparently, now this is interesting. I did not realize, did you, James, that starches are particularly prone to certain bacteria if left out unrefrigerated, even for hours.
I'm aware of it because if I've cooked spaghetti or rice, I always put it up if I'm okay as soon as I can.
Well, and I understand that, but I still didn't realize there was a particular bacteria, one of the bacillus strains, that is just for starches, pretty much left out. And they have a name for it. It's the fried rice syndrome, since rice is sometimes cooked and left to cool at room temperature for a few hours. That's long enough. Now, the problem is this bacillus not only can contaminate the food, but it doesn't die when it's cooked. So,
which is a very, very bad thing.
Right. And most of the time, you'll just get a bout of food poisoning and you won't be happy. And that's what happened to a family of eight. But in this case, this fella, unfortunately, it does happen. It invaded his liver. He wound up with liver failure, and that was it.
Yeah. Okay. If they can't bring your liver back, I won't. I won't even chat about what happens, what they say, which is the rhyme for it. We will not go there.
No, absolutely we won't. But the thing, I think there's a terrific thing everybody can do with leftovers, and that's throw them out. You know, I don't think people should even bother.
Yeah, there's something, like there was something in the movie, okay, The Naked Gun.
Okay.
They happened to come across. Draven had invited his girlfriend over to, his friend over to, and she happened to notice in his icebox there wasn't much there. And they said, oh, I thought these guys went out of business for it because of food poisoning. About 5-10 years when he fell out.
Well, I'll tell you what, it was sobering because you just, you know, and people do this all the time, and maybe it's just a few hours, but you figure, you know, come on, it's just rice, it's just pasta, what the heck could happen? Well, you could die. And so you have one more thing on the list of things that could kill you. I mean, with all the food recalls, we know that there are things that could. But this one I thought was just a little over the top. So as always, a ton of good stories, and I expect we'll talk to you anon for more of them.
Yeah, there's one that's I don't think it got through yet. That's one about. Is I will tease it about a guy who had lost, thought he had lost everything, and he was like mourning the loss of his house and everything. But something showed up 5 days after that made him feel, left him to tears.
Okay.
That he hadn't lost that.
I will look for that, and we will talk about that soon.
Okay,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, right. You take care.
You too. All right, there's another, James sent me a story, included a video. Disturbing MRI footage shows what happens when you rub your eyes. Yeah, you can't do anything. That's really what it comes to. After all, that's right, pick your nose, die. and most of the time, all these things are very, very, very unlikely to happen, including the guy who died from the pasta. Very unlikely to happen, but it can. And even when it doesn't, even when it's just something that annoys your system, bottom line is your immune system has to stop what it's doing to concentrate whatever idiot thing you just did. So 888-876-5593. Eduardo is in Tampa. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, good evening, Riley. Well, I got to talk about health, and I can add Mr. Diamond I saw on CBS Sunday this Sunday, and my mother in a moment here. But they had that big story about dementia and how more people are going to be getting it because we're going to have an aging population in the coming years.
Okay, I didn't see it, but statistically, that would be true. To what degree? I think there are so many things, and we really don't know what contribute to the rise, in addition to just age, that maybe one day they'll have it sorted out. But what's the point of the article? Tell me about it.
Well, they're recommending that people obviously get a better sleep, obviously eating better.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the basics. And I always say sleep is sacred. People who say I fall asleep listening to you. Good, then I've done my job. Sleep is sacred. I firmly believe that, no matter what. But as far as, you know, really getting enough sleep, most people in their lifestyles are probably not. And as far as eating correctly, oh, man, you know, that is an ever battle with most people. But sure, that those two things alone would help any condition. But how often will we do it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I certainly eat better and sleep better now so than before. So I'm glad to say that.
Well, good. Good.
Yeah.
You'll live longer or maybe it'll just seem like it is.
Yeah. And so Mr. Diamond had a couple of scares. I guess he had throat cancer and heart problems. And he had to go to a hospital in a previous year. So he's one lucky fellow. And my mother's MRI came back today. They called me and says, yeah, she's fine.
Good. Excellent. Well, that's what you wanted to know.
Yeah, they just said, you know what, that just happens with age. You know, sometimes you feel something different, but there's nothing that came up bad in the MRI. So that's good news.
Good. That's excellent news.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah,
that's,
definitely.
That's got to be a relief. And as we all do get older, there are things where we all think, oh, my God, is it dementia? You know, you walk into a room, you don't know why you're there and all those things. Well, no, that's common. We all do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that people can have somebody like their primary doctor or somebody to go to and, you know,
well, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's such a relief for your mother, and that's great news. But let's say it wasn't going to come out that way. Would you want to know?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to hear bad news, but I think you got to face it and deal with it and try and overcome it. And
there's no cures as far as that goes. There are some mm-hmm. mitigating things, and obviously most of that is something that can be achieved when symptoms are displayed rather than investigative things in advance. I'm just not 100% sure if we want to know about things that we can't control.
Oh yeah. Yeah, well, we can pray that we continue being healthy.
Yeah,
that's what we can do.
Well, that's the the best news of all, though, is you know, you did go through the tests, and the result was your mom can rest easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a couple of requests if I can. T.S. Mung, Give Me a Good Life, and Donald Byrd, Wind Parade.
Okay, I'm writing it down. All right.
I think I got that right.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
Good deal. Thanks.
All right, maybe
for calling.
A call. Oh, by the way,
yes.
On the job, no updates yet, but I'm going to follow up with Teresa tomorrow. Maybe I'll have an update Thursday.
Good.
Maybe there's.
Good. I will look forward to it.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Have a good show. Okay.
All right. By the way, when I say that you don't want to know, we're not talking about acute situations. There was recently, in Arizona, a 7-year-old girl almost lost her leg because she went 30 hours without anybody realizing she was bitten by a rattlesnake. And she was at the park, and she fell while jogging along a canal, and it didn't hurt right away. And no one saw a snake. No one heard a rattle. So the child actually finished the run that she was doing, and she complained of some ankle pain and some swelling. And, you know, but they weren't too worried. She wasn't feeling too well after that, but they weren't too worried. And ultimately, ultimately, she started feeling worse, and her parents took her to multiple emergency rooms, and no one at first was able to diagnose it. They couldn't figure it out. And finally, the family ended up at Phoenix Children's downtown, and she was diagnosed with a rattlesnake bite. And 30 hours had passed between the moment she was bitten and when doctors started responding to the bite. And luckily, the doctors were able to save her life and her leg, but she was given 40 vials of anti-venom. She's undergone two surgeries and is still not 100%, but she will be. And nobody saw puncture wounds. Nobody saw the snake. And so thank God that the parents reacted when the child was seeming particularly ill. But interesting, when you go to a few emergency rooms, they don't know. Yeah, well, bottom line, yes, is if it's acute, ignore my advice. Do something about it. But if you're looking at something investigative, like, you know, will you develop Alzheimer's in the future? Well, it's up to you if you want to have that information. And then if you do have it, if it's accurate, that's one thing. If it's not, and you are acting on it, I'm not sure. I'll leave that to you. But if it's acute, for God's sakes, get somewhere quickly. All right, we'll get to Marlo and Jackson, and hopefully get to you too. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
I was driving down the boulevard late one night on my way back home when I spied this guy on the corner thumbing all alone. As I passed on by, I heard him holler out, "Hey," he said, "by any chance are you going my way?" I said, "Well, sure, hop on in, buddy, and give me a cigarette." He reached into his pocket, and that was the moment that I regret. He hollered, "Reach for the skies," and I said, "But I don't seem to understand." And then he told me, he said, "Just don't try no monkey business, 'cause I got the stopper in my hand." And then he said, "Now this is a 38 pistol I got here, built on a 45 frame. It shoots a tombstone bullet on a ball and chain." He said, "Now I ain't trying to shake you up, but I just want you to know that if the cops start closing in on me, you the first to go. So just drive on like ain't nothing happening. And when you get to that red light, I want you to fake like you're going to your left and jump back to your right." He hollered, "Reach for the sky," and I said, "But I don't seem to understand." And then he told me, he said, "Just don't try no monkey business, 'cause I got the stopper in my hand." He said, "Now I want you to turn up in the alley and cool it behind the liquor store, and keep a sharp lookout at all times while I slip in through the back door. And keep one foot on the gas and always be on your guard, because when I come running out of there with that money, I want you to mash on it real hard." He said, "Now don't try to pull no double cross and let me come out and find you gone, because one of these days I'll catch up with you and I'll murder with the heat on." He hollered, "Reach for the sky," and I said, "But I don't seem to understand." And he said, "Just don't try no monkey business, 'cause I got the stopper in my hand." Now while I was sitting there trembling, a spotlight hit me in the face. The cops pulled up behind me, said, "Move up a little bit, my friend, or we want to take your place." And then this guy come running out with the money, and he said, "Oh, there you are." He made a mistake in the dark and run and leaped into the police car.
When they put the handcuffs on him, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, Ken Harris as Boogaloo and his gallant crew, 1956 on Crest, Cops and Robbers. And it was Linda and Richton Park who wanted to hear that. The flip side was Clothesline, which, of course, Lieber and Stoller stole as Shopping for Clothes by the Coasters. It took years, but finally Ken Harris was awarded the royalties because it was his song. He wrote a number of things that were just great. Loved the comedic things as far as that goes. It was on Crest Records. And when things didn't hit, he thought, "All right, I'll just get off the stage." He's got over 97 songs in the BMI Songwriters database that he wrote. He saw songs of his recorded by artists on Atlantic, Capitol, RCA, Columbia, you name it. And in fact, Bo Diddley did a version of Cops and Robbers a year or so after Boogaloo did. And also, you know, Boogaloo, we think about that as a dance in the 60s and all that. Remember, this is Kent Harris, who came up with this name in 1954. So he was just as creative as could be all the way around, just wonderful. And he had a long life, 89 years old, died in San Diego, North County in 2019, born in 1930, and did so many other things that we could go on and on. But I admire Linda's taste. I liked Ken Harris too. Boogaloo and his Gannett crew. Marlo and Jackson, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh James, how you doing tonight?
All right, how about yourself, Marlo? What's up?
I'm doing good. I'm going to tell you about the pictures I sent in a minute, but I want to give my condolences to Sam Moore.
Yes. Tomorrow night we're going to feature a lot of Sam's stuff, including stuff that maybe you haven't heard.
Yeah, we did some shows with Sam. Oh, yeah. Sam and Dave years ago, Starlight Review, Goodwill Review, you know, when we were traveling with Rufus.
Okay, good. Then I got to ask you then. See, you probably know this, but for 19 years, Sam and Dave did not talk to each other. It was just a vicious fight. What was their issue?
Well, I don't want to get off in no detail, but it was just a little problem there. I'm going to fit in.
A little problem? Well, maybe you can tell me off the air sometime. A little problem to cause 19 years of silence? Yeah, that'd be a little problem.
Well, just like Prince and this boy saying with Time, Mars Day, they didn't even talk during the movie they made. So, hey,
yeah, well.
Sometimes it be like that.
Jeez.
Yeah, sometimes it be like that.
Jeez.
But, he said 19 years.
19 years they didn't talk to each other. Yeah, that's true. But obviously, you know, Sam was a good guy. Everybody I know who knew him said that. And his wife, Joyce, survived him. And they'd been married for a long time. And their daughter, Michelle, and, you know, a couple of grandkids. So, you know, he had a good long life. He died in Coral Gables. So those are nice digs. Can't complain about living there.
No, you sure can't. My dad always used to say, you got your health and strength, you about got everything.
Well, yes, and sadly at 89 years old, it was while recovering from surgery, complications set in, and that was it for Sam.
But back then, I wouldn't think he was that age. You know, he was probably in his 30s then, but you look at it when time flies, wow, he was 89. I didn't see that back then like that.
No, absolutely.
All of us were digging together.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that, because when you think about that, yeah, you betcha. And so he was signed to Atlantic in 65. And like we say, he wasn't a teen then.
No, but he got with Stacks. You know,
Well, and part of that through Atlantic, too. All that stuff was recorded at Stax.
Yeah.
But remember, that was that relationship that my least favorite person, Jerry Wexler, had with Stax. And that really worked. But Sam and Dave used to appear at clubs along Northwest 2nd Avenue in Miami before they were ever hits. And they'd be like at the Night Beat at the Sir John Hotel and thing like that. And they were just terrific.
Yeah, they really were.
Yeah.
They really were.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll talk more right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is your bass man. I want you to join me at a rock and roll revival. Boom, boom, boom.
I dreamt I was at a rock and roll revival. The angels were singing. My boyfriend's back, gonna get trouble. The oldies that night, Sam Cooke kept singing, darling, you send me. And the Mellow Kings kept singing, tonight, tonight. How I remember a dance called the Bristol Stomp. The kids in Bristol are sharp as a pistol when they do the Bristol Stomp. Won't someone tell me
who wrote the book of love?
Yeah.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. 1972 for that on Laurie, and that's the Five Discs, who were around since the 50s. They were a Brooklyn doo-wop group. Mario De Andrade was the lead singer of that. And as far as Rock and Roll Revival, like I say, 1972, and that was actually written by Ernie Maresca, and you can kind of hear that, and he produced it as well at Art Craft in Brooklyn. So that was Sergeant Pappy who wanted to hear that, and he also wanted to hear in the Still the Night, so we'll play that as well. Now we're talking to Marlo in Jackson, and like I say, Marlo, tomorrow night we'll talk a lot about Sam and Dave, including his wild years while still in high school.
I heard that, Dan.
Yeah,
you got
boy.
A lot to tell, sister.
Yeah, boy. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. Meanwhile, I'm going to do my best to find out why they didn't talk.
you hear a lot of different stories, so anyway.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll talk. But I send you some 20x30 pictures.
Whoa.
Of Jacksonia. I send 10 pictures.
Whoa.
So you can hang them or do whatever you want. They some nice pictures of memorabilia of Jacksonia Lanier and Company.
Oh, well, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah. What I did, I put, when you take the back off, you can get the other 9 pictures out.
Okay.
Or the picture frame, they 20x30.
Okay.
So one of those pictures, we was Archibald and Andrea. Some photographers snapped a picture of me and my brother together, the one that passed. He used to do the lead singing Fast Lanier Jr.
Yeah, okay.
Then you got a picture with me and my sister and my brother, Ferris, on there together.
Oh, great.
So you'll see those.
Great.
So it's a lot of pictures. Then I send you a DVD, mostly the bio of Lanier and Company.
Okay.
So you can check that out. So.
Yeah.
You almost got the whole works, but when they run out, I got something else to sing about the Jacksonia Lanier and Company.
Wow. All right. So, well, I'll be back at the mailbox in under 2 weeks. It takes me about that long.
Well, it'll be that Thursday, Tom.
Oh, God. Well, yeah, it'll be waiting for me then when I get back there.
Yeah, it'll be waiting. Yeah, it'll be waiting. So,
well,
you
great.
Enjoy that. When they run out, I'm singing you some more.
Okay.
So you're going to really enjoy it. So if Adam or Carol, when I'm on a picture, hey, hang it in. Let them enjoy themselves.
All right. Good deal.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
And my sister said hello.
Me too. Yeah.
She loves you.
Yeah, I was going to say hi to Mona Lisa. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
All right, then.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Talking to you. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, 888-876-5593. You know, one of the things that I found interesting in the Florida storms was the Teslas that absolutely exploded. You know, the Cybertrucks and all, but they got wet. They got inundated, actually, with water, and they totally exploded. I have no idea what happened in the Palisades fire, but I have to believe there are probably a couple Cybertrucks in some of those houses, either garage or on the street. I don't know. Haven't heard a word, and I've been wondering about that. Of course, I haven't been searching much for that either, but I really have been wondering. So here is a guy who owns 8 cars and a truck, and the truck happens to be a Cybertruck. And he gets his mail, and he discovered that Geico is terminating his insurance coverage. Not for the other 8 cars, just for the truck. And in fact, he put the letter online where we'd like to thank you for choosing Geico for your insurance needs. After a careful review of your policy records, we have determined we are unable to continue your insurance coverage for the 2024 Tesla Cybertruck. We have taken this action for the following reasons. We are unable to insure your 2024 Tesla Cybertruck because this type of vehicle doesn't meet our underwriting guidelines. Therefore, we must notify you as follows. All coverage on the 2024 Tesla Cybertruck provided by Geico Casualty Company under the above policy number will non-renew as of 12:01 a.m. on that date. And your updated policy documents will follow shortly. We regret that circumstances require this action and urge you to obtain other coverage for the 2024 Tesla Cybertruck prior to the date. If you have any questions, give us a call. Well, the owner of the truck said, no, they're not going to continue to insure any of my vehicles. I'm going to get another insurance company, which I can more than understand, but there was absolutely no doubt that Geico's dropping the policy because they don't want to insure Cybertrucks. Now, why? There was nothing in that letter that would tell you why. What is it that didn't meet their underwriting guidelines. And so you've got several people online who are kind of parsing that. And one possible factor they say might be the Cybertruck is one of the most problem-ridden vehicles out on the road. Common to see them broken down in the middle of the street or being bricked for no apparent reason. And in fact, one Cybertruck owner, and these are all anecdotal, of course, said he was locked out of his truck for 3 weeks, unable to open the door. In another story, a man says he still loves the Cybertruck despite Tesla failing to fix the issue with his truck after 8 separate service visits in 5 months. They also reported that Tesla service technicians are awaiting upper management to issue a Cybertruck recall and refresh, but that apparently hasn't happened. And then another owner said, I was stranded in the middle of the road. Yeah, on 4 different occasions. And actually, after 4 occasions, Tesla gave that particular owner a brand new Cybertruck. However, the second one got bricked. Finally, Elon Musk got involved personally, instructing Tesla engineers to drill open the bricked Cybertruck to access the inside. Yeah, and so what's the problem? Well, most of those failures actually are covered by Tesla's own warranty program. However, there are other issues that apparently are frustrating insurance companies, particularly the cost of time and wait to repair one if there's a minor accident. So you got a fender bender, basically, and the insurance company says, wait, I'm going to be out paying $13,400 to fix a fender bender? Yeah, and the rental car insurance for 4 weeks or whatever. Other reports are showing that Cybertrucks cost over $20,000 for relatively minor accidents. And so are they the only insurer who will do this? I don't know. Also, there was an issue with the glass. Several Cybertruck owners have reported that their transparent metal glass has spontaneously shattered after being left in the sun. Other Tesla Cybertruck owners have reported that their windshield shattered after being cleaned with a microfiber cloth. Or in one case, a light hit with a wedding ring and the window just completely shattered. So it's interesting that now you're seeing the thought, maybe this will pose a risk to other road users. And as far as that goes, and who knows. But the bottom line is that you're having insurance companies that are saying, nope, I'll pass. So yeah, curious about that. Do you have one? The thing I noticed on it, actually, which means nothing, but they're stainless steel. And so just like your stainless steel sink, the last one I saw was just littered with fingerprints. And I thought, man, cleaning that every day? I don't know. But then again, remember when DeLoreans were big for a minute and a half there in the early 80s? I can't tell you how many DeLoreans I saw by the side of the 101 or the 405 in Southern California. Yeah, the things did not, they were gorgeous, the gold wing doors and all the stuff, but did not run. Yeah, Johnny Carson had one. And so, you get to meet him while he was standing there and such. But I have no idea what the deal is with Geico, including we're not getting into the liability limits at an at-fault, you know, bodily injury accident. Like, what does it do to other vehicles? I can't imagine. And so that's the latest on that. But they sure look interesting on the road, don't they? Yeah, kind of like a tank. 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH on WGN Radio.
I remember the stars.
Raleigh James. Well, we don't normally play hits, but Sergeant Pappy wanted to hear it, and it is an anthem of sorts. In the Still of the Night, The Five Satins, 1956, on Ember. 888-876-5593. Well, I didn't see any accounts of Tesla's blowing up or catching on fire in the fires, but I did see some interesting things, including, this is really sad, a man in the Palisades had a house, had a Tesla with a camera that actually caught his entire house burning down. Yeah, he now has pictures, and there you have it. But the other thing is that Tesla has an incredible filtration system. So there are many people who said, "Hey, you know, if you got to be anywhere, be in that car." So there you have it. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh and Fran is in Austin. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Fran.
Hey, Raleigh. Well, you were talking earlier about. Would I want to know, you know, if I was going to get Alzheimer's or something? Heck no.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to. I have enough to worry about as it is.
Exactly.
You know, and it is something that I do worry about because my grandfather had it. My mother was starting to get it.
Uh-huh.
My mother had Parkinson's, and she was just starting to get to the point where it's like she would complain, for example, that we weren't turning the TV loud enough for her, and we had it full blast. The problem was she could not follow the show. You know, and so, you know, just little things like that, or like she got really upset because she said I didn't call her for Mother's Day, and I did, and my aunt, fortunately, was able to.
Right.
But, you know, and sometimes I worry when I forget something. Oh, my God, am I getting it? You know, because my grandfather was really bad. And that's one of my biggest fears of anything happening to me would be that.
I can understand that. I think the worst part of it is the phase where you are aware enough to know you've got the problem, to know that you're going in and out of it. That to me would be just horrifying. I would hope if that's the case that I'd just go fast, you know, that it would be an overnight switch. But the idea of, you know, 4 hours a day, you're aware that you're out of your mind the other 20. No, thank you.
Yeah, no, I'd rather, if I'm going to be unaware, I would just rather be...
Unaware, yeah.
Yeah, unaware.
Exactly.
You know, don't put me in this middle zone. But I saw, well, you know, and I usually don't like to make things about being blind, but in a way it's harder because everything we do is by memory.
Of course it is.
You can't just walk in a room and look around and see where the chairs are. You got to know. And, you know... there was a lady that a friend of mine knew who was in a memory care facility who's blind, and she kept getting really upset because they wouldn't show her how to get to the dining room. And she said, I don't want somebody to take me. I want to go by myself, and they won't show me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, my friend talked to the staff there and, you know, why won't you show her how to get... We've shown her several times, but she doesn't remember.
Right, that's what I was going to say. Most likely, they've shown her repeatedly.
Yeah, and so, you know, whenever I think of that, I think, oh, my God, oh, no, no, please don't let that happen to me.
Right.
Or Gary.
Right.
And, you know, and Gary and I have talked about it in the sense of, you know, what... Because it's a little harder for us to, you know, take care of each other under those circumstances. You know, so, you know, we talked about, you know, I told him, if it gets too hard, you know, just, I won't know. Probably by the time it gets that hard, I won't know. You're putting me in somewhere anyway, you know.
Right, no.
But.
No.
But the main point is I don't want to know.
No, I would not want to know either. And the other thing, when you know something like that, you risk almost making it happen, you know, when you're fixated on that. I think life is really interesting. You know, we talk about how it will turn on a dime, but then on a spiritual level, are there really any accidents? You know, what did we sign up for coming here? You know, I'm not sure that that any of it is as random as it sometimes seems.
I wonder sometimes about that. I know some people feel that everything is preordained that happens to you. And I'd hate to think that. I don't know.
Well, I don't think everything, because I think that one of the things about the earthbound experience is you do have some free will, and a lot more probably than other incarnational systems. So I think there's some free will, but I think there's probably a blueprint that you signed up for. Whether or not it'll play out exactly that way will be determined by what you do while you're here.
Yeah, maybe it's like this game, and then you get these options. Okay,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'll put you in this situation, I being life, and you've got these options. What are you going to do with it?
Right. I would like an incarnational system where each time we came to a fork in the road, we got to take both paths. And so at the end of that existence, there would probably be something like 2 million paths, but you'd get to learn by reviewing the pathways more than through the pain of being in a corporeal body.
Right. Yeah. And well, maybe that's, because apparently, I believe there are multi-universes.
Yeah, well, and...
And there are probably multi-versions of you and multi-versions of me, God help us.
I know some scientists are revolted by the thought of quote-unquote pop physics, but at the same time, there's a lot of that research that say confirming those very things.
I certainly believe that's true. But... And another thing, I am just getting so tired of Meta AI, I could scream.
I just ignore all of that. Like, every time it comes up on a Google search or something, I immediately hit web so I don't have to see what it is. But what's going on with Meta?
Well, what it's doing is it's partially making things less accessible.
Here, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay
okay.
right where you
okay.
are. Yeah, and I don't want to hear less acceptable. We're going to have to come down hard on whatever this is and more. But right now we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and get back to it in moments here on WGN Radio.
I'll be seeing you in all the old familiar places that this heart of mine embraces all day through. In the small cafe, the park across the way, the children's carousel, the chestnut trees, the wishing well, and I'll be seeing you in every lovely summer's day. Everything that's light and gay, I'll always think of you that way. I'll find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon. But I'll be seeing you. I will find you in the morning sun, and when the night is new.
I'm Roddy James, and yes, Frank Sinatra, I'll be seeing you. 1961 on Reprise, fairly early on after he formed that label. Rita in Harwood Heights wanted to hear it, and now she has. All right, so we're talking to Fran in Austin about all things AI and other invasive things online. And actually, from what I understand, and I don't know if it's true, but if you use the basic mobile site, and I don't know what it would do to, a screen reader, but mbasic.facebook.com, there isn't Meta AI.
Apparently, they're taking that away. A lot of people can't use it anymore.
Okay.
The M.Facebook page, I think, heard they're taking it away, or they have taken it away.
Great.
Now, I use my phone mostly on Facebook. I don't use my computer that much on it because it's easier to do on the phone.
Okay.
But it's getting to where it's not as easy. I'm writing something, and it says, right in the middle of what I'm writing, it says, use AI to help you write.
No.
Which is an insult in the first darn place. I've been writing since, I know what I want to write. I don't want to use AI to help me write.
Well, let me.
It's okay if I could just say, leave me alone.
Right. But let me ask you this. You can mute it, not indefinitely, but for pretty long periods of time. If you mute it, will nothing come up?
No, nothing will.
So that's what you need to do.
I mean, no, I can't use it if I mute it.
Oh, you can't. Oh, right, because you're using it. I see. Okay. Of course you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no, you're plumb stuck.
Now, yeah.
Now there is a way to turn off the comment summaries. I don't know if you care.
I get tired of hearing, you mean the things that tell you how many people bought this or that?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know that there is, under settings and privacy, you can select audience and visibility posts, and you can turn the toggle off for comment summaries.
Oh, okay. I'll check that out. But, but that's annoying. And then apparently, for people that are trying to use their computers, it's making it so that they can't, somehow or another, they can't review what they've written without Meta butting in and trying to either correct it or do something. And that's annoying, but what's really annoying is trying to shop on Amazon these days.
Amazon has this?
Yes.
Now, why haven't I run into this? Because I never run into this on Amazon.
What it is, my stupid the devices are going off, so I can't say her name.
Oh, right, of course, yes, of course you can't, right.
And there's a lot I could say about those at this point, because it would take so long, but I just, Amazon, stop. Sorry about that.
It's hilarious.
I was trying to get her to stop without.
Yeah, right.
Anyway. If you're trying to shop on that particular device or that particular site, I mean, you used to get pictures of things, but you would also get a description. So, you know, you'd get a picture and then you'd get a whole little blurb about, well, like I'm trying to buy an air fryer and I'm trying to, you know, find out some specifics and the little description would give you that. Now they give you a whole bunch of pictures, and then you got to ask Rufus.
What?
Rufus is their AI thing. And you have to ask Rufus a question. It just doesn't give you the spec, you know, some of the things you might want to know about the item. You got to ask, and so you got to figure out the right context. Because, you know, people think, well, it's so easy to use these devices, but like I was trying to find something on my other device and I didn't get the right syntax the first 10 times I asked for it.
Oh, God.
So it's, you know, it's making it so that, and it's got the most, it's got a bunch of, a list of most asked questions, which usually my questions don't fall into.
Yeah, you see, I'm just not experiencing any of this. But of course, you know, I can see the screen for one thing. But you know, when I go to it and says search Amazon, let's say I want a mini USB to USB 2.0 cable, I'll just put that in there. That's what I'm searching for, and then it'll print out like 9 zillion choices. How many feet do I want, and all that kind of stuff. But beyond that, I just pick the ones I want and click on it and look at the description and say, yeah, I'll take this one.
Yeah, if it's something, like say a grocery item or something that's a cable that, you know, I know what it does, I know how it's supposed to work, yada yada, that's okay. But what I'm saying is, you know, that instead of having the little blurb that tells you certain things that the item will do and how it works and this and that and the other thing, you have to ask this meta thing.
That's so weird. Because, okay, let me just pick anything on Amazon right now. And at the beginning, okay, it gives you about this item, and it gives you a whole bunch of things about this item. And, you know, then usually below it, it has product details. So I'm not seeing where I, now, granted, if there was something that wasn't in about this item that I wanted to know, I'd have to ask Rufus, so to speak. But usually I don't want to ask Rufus because usually I know exactly what I'm after, give it to me or not, you know?
Right, yeah. But it just, you know, it just bugs me that they don't just put something that I have to ask Rufus.
Right,
know?
Right. Well, the whole thing. But, you know, remember, I think you were probably listening when I talked about this, a teacher who was talking about initially they were very concerned that all kids would do was text. Well, now what they found out is kids can't text. They have to talk it. They can't read. They can't write. They talk their texts.
Can you connect W?
Yeah, because they can't spell anymore because they...
Well, they can't do anything.
No,
they literally can't. See, this is the thing, friend. They literally cannot write. They can't do anything. And that's truly frightening. They can't construct a text, for God's sakes. All right, so now Debbie says she has suggestions for you, so I'm going to see how badly I'm going to screw this up right now and see if we can have Debbie join us. So, Debbie, let's see. Are you there?
Hey.
Yeah, it seemed to work. All right.
Hey, Debbie. Joy and love. Hey, I'm so glad to hear your voice, both of you. Yeah, I'm going through my own, you know, torment right now, but I was going to suggest InnerSearch.ai is another site that kind of pulls a lot of things from Amazon and other stores together in an easier place to go for looking up stuff.
Where is this?
Is it InterSearch?
No, InnoInno search.ai.
Okay.
And, you know, you might try it. If it doesn't work, then you've got nothing to lose, and you can go back to the old...
Yeah, I'll try anything. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. InnoSearch.ai, good tip.
Yeah, and I was going to say something else. You might want to rename your device Ziggy or something, so that when you say other words that are common, it won't, you know, trigger it.
Yeah, I usually put it on pause, you know, silent yeah. before I call.
I can't always reach mine, so I have to try to do.
Well, yeah, maybe rename it to something you would otherwise never say.
Yeah, yeah.
You can only rename it. I think you can.
There's four things. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's four things you can name it. So I call mine Ziggy.
Yeah, and that's all you can do, and I've got two of them done.
Well, that's not good. You should be able to name it anything you damn well want.
That should.
Well, you all keep me in your prayers. I have a good friend on a ventilator right now, and I don't know how she's going to end up. But she's like 50 years my junior, and we've been close friends for the last 10 years. And I'm
what happened? What happened to her?
Well, that's the underlying thought. I don't know all the details because I'm not on the list of people that she can talk to. And her husband's also hospitalized at another facility. And I don't want to bug him because he's got health issues going on that are almost as bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry. It's so tough.
Yeah, and so your show is a light at the end of the...
Aren't you kind?
I'm real tunnel. You know...
Well,
I agree with you on that, Debbie. There's been a lot of times when Raleigh's show has been the light at my tunnel. So.
I can honestly tell you that, you know.
Debbie, what's your friend's first name?
Melissa.
Okay, so keep Melissa in our prayers. Yeah,
please do, because I don't know. I don't have many real friends anyway. Mm-hmm. But I'd met one or two through your program, and that was kind of an interesting turnaround.
Well, good. We'll
anyway, I'm going to run for now, and hopefully right. that site will help you.
Thanks.
And,
appreciate it, Debbie.
Thank you. And thanks. All your clever songs. I just love it. You know?
All right. Good deal. Thanks.
Thanks.
All right. So, yeah, you know, you hear something like that about her friend Melissa, and suddenly AI doesn't seem like such a big problem after all. You know, it's like putting things in perspective to say, oh, okay, yeah, get it. Sure. Yeah. Tough.
Yeah. Tough. But, and it's also, there's this thing now that they do, and it's just, it's annoying. It's not something that's, you know, it's just, it's annoying as anything. I go to order something, like on Uber Eats or something like that.
Okay.
And it has to tell me how many other people had it.
Oh, geez.
You know, and when I ordered it last, and, you know, all this stuff, and I don't care how many people's car it sits in. I don't care how many people ordered it, whichever way they order it. I'm ordering it the way I'm ordering it, and I don't care how many people.
I only care if they died from it. Then I hope they do tell me. But other than that,
I really don't care. It's like when did I order it last? Okay, yeah. I can only, you know. it's one of those things that it's just annoying. It's more stuff for me. It's more clutter for me to.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. That's what you're saying. Shut up.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to know that. Leave me alone. Just let me order my food in peace.
Right.
But that's the kind of the annoying side of all this stuff.
And is that going to cause anybody else to order it? You know, if they know that four other people have? I mean, you order what you want to eat. So,
well,
I don't know.
I don't know. Some people, I mean, we've gotten so, it's always kind of been that way. You know, well, we're going to do, you know, I remember, you know, being a kid and wanting to do what my friends do, but I'm not that kid anymore.
Right. I'm going to eat what I want.
Yeah, exactly. I have enough trouble with my doctor telling me what to eat and what
exactly.
not to eat. I don't listen to her, so who thinks I'm going to listen to them?
That's right. Yeah. Oh, man. No, I feel your frustration all the way around. And, you know, it's just like when things go very wrong computer-wise. Maybe I programmed something and, you know, something's just gone wrong. It's like these are great time savers when they work, but it is a colossal time waster when it doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. Just
maybe on another call I'll go into my whole thing about YouTube. But
all right. Well, see, I only listen to that late at night when I'm trying to go to sleep, so I have no idea what it does wrong. I'm hopefully asleep before it does it.
Well, it's hard to find things, and especially a lot of the novelty stuff I like, I can't find it anywhere. And YouTube is so cluttered. I don't know. I'd like to find. I know that there are people who use it and use it well. And if you're listening to the show,
yeah, right.
And you know, you use, especially if you use JAWS or something. You know.
Well, I do find when I'm searching for something, if I know somebody who's got a channel and their channel usually gives me a lot of what I want, I look there first.
Oh, okay.
You know, that way, because I know that person is basically in tune, you know, like my nuts for my near-death experiences, you know.
Right, yeah.
And what I hate on that is now a lot of them are AI voices. It's like, no, I want to hear the almost dead person speaking. I do not want to hear an AI voice. But
I know.
Yeah.
AI voices on everything now.
Yeah, well, exactly. But so I don't listen to those because I don't sleep well with those. So those don't work.
No.
But, yeah, right. So I look for the other ones. But I do find also, if you find somebody who's got a channel and they're doing it in the way you like there's one channel where they don't interrupt the person who's given their near-death experience. Basically, it was almost like a monologue for that person. Kind of like that, you know? They're not interjecting their own opinion. So I know I can go to that site and that's the format I'm going to get from them.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So you may try that.
Yeah, but mainly I'm trying to look for movies and music and things like that I want to.
Right.
And I tried to go to YouTube Music, and it's fine if you want to find all of the hits all the time.
Well, right, the current stuff. That's fine if you're under 30. But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
but
no.
You know, I'm looking for, like, a while back I was trying to listen to Spike Jonze.
Right.
I don't want to listen to All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth.
Ever. That's right.
I want to listen to, you know, some of the, you know, like, oh, that one about, and she's got another wife, and he's got another husband.
Yes. Well,
and then
let's
he
see.
Says goodbye in all these different languages. You know, adios, auf Wiedersehen. How do you like that? She didn't even say goodbye.
Right.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
Corny stuff like that.
Right.
You know, and you know, I want a lot of that. And I'll tell you, the worst thing I ever did was get rid of my records.
Oh yeah, yeah. I know it's tough. It is.
Yeah. So I'm trying to figure out how to. And then I can't figure out how to, you know, like once I find something on YouTube, I want to keep it. But I don't know, you know, you can't keep
right.
it, like, you know, so I don't know.
Well, now, I just came to the Best of Spike Jonze on RCA CD, and every one of the cuts is plays in a row online, and it's 26 cuts. And so,
Where was that?
Well, it's just Spike Jonze, and the person whose playlist it is a guy named Howard Bechtel, Bechtel. But I think if you just write Spike Jonze or Spike Jonze channel, get to Spike Jonze Howard Bechtel, and then you'll see Cocktails for Two and Der Fuhrer's Face, but then they'll say View Full Playlist. And when you view full playlist, and you can, by the way, you don't have to start it at Cocktails for Two. Ignore that. You don't want to hear that. Start it with Der Fuhrer's Face, and then you'll get Dance of the Hours and Hawaiian War Chant and William Tell Overture.
And stuff like, yeah.
Older Than Dust medley and all girl band medley and 1 o'clock Jump and Visits Carmen and The Glowworm, My Old Flame, The Old Black Magic, you know, and more.
Oh,
like
I
that.
Love all that stuff.
Yeah,
yes.
The Man on the Flying Trapeze and Knows But the Lonely Heart of Soperetta. And you can go through, and that's all, that will play one after the other on that guy's channel. You don't even have to
do it.
You don't even have to do anything. So just like I say, I just wrote Spike Jonze channel. I didn't get one, by the way. But the first entrance is that Spike Jonze Howard Bechtel playlist. And then when it said view full playlist, I said, oh, man, the world is my oyster here.
All right. I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that should at least
Definitely.
keep you busy for a while. And if you don't like something, just go ahead. But if you just put Spike Jonze, you know, you're going to like leave the dishes in the sink, Ma, 1944 Foxtrot. You know, it's all there. You can find this.
Okay. For some reason, I was just finding like just the Christmas stuff and.
I don't see any Christmas stuff.
Oh, weird. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So give it a try.
I will do that.
If not, send me an email, and what I'll do is send you a link to that page of all those, you know, the full playlist.
Okay. Sounds good.
Good deal. Okay, thanks.
All right, thanks.
Okay, bye. All right, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Everything depends on you. Oh, hey, Mr. Dreamcatcher, bring her back to me and make my dream come true. When I said goodbye to my love, I didn't mean to make her cry. I didn't realize that I loved. Now I need her by my side. Hey, it's the dream version. Everything depends on you. Oh, hey, it's the dream. You should have told the spoon to stop it. You should have made this blind man see. I've got my pride back in my pocket. Oh, won't you bring her back to me?
Hey, Mr. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James. Sam and Gurney said, just play a Jerry Butler record you like. Well, that's the one I like better than any of them, actually. 1967 on Mercury. And it was hard because there's so many from which to choose. But, yeah, top of the list for me, Mr. Dream Merchant. Not a big hit for him either. Like I say, 1967 on Mercury. So, Sam and Gurney, there you go. Danny in Oak Park wanted to hear Jerry Butler do For Your Precious Love. So that's coming up next. But right now we got Tubby in Chicago. What's happening, Tubby?
You're fading. All of a sudden, I'm getting a weak signal, Riley.
Really?
How are you?
I'm all right. All right. Now, you're talking about on the radio?
You bet. You're back. It was just for a second.
Huh. Well, I can't control that.
Well, it's on the phone because I go back and forth, turn the volume up on, you know, when y'all switch out. Anyway, first things first. People call and they say, I'm going to say this first. It makes a difference. One wants to feel like they've made a difference in the world. Like I always say, we live so privileged. Mm. That's number one. And these fires are just amazing. One of my prayers every day, as I bless my food and stuff, is that, you know, when people lose their children and they never come back, or someone they love, or family member, and they never come home from school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how a person deals with that on a daily basis. Also, all these the hurricanes, the fires, the tornadoes, the devastation that a person gets up the next day. And when I talked with Sister Mary Olin this evening, she talked about one of the older nuns who was 90, and there was a niece who had her daughter's pictures at the house, and of course she lost everything. My ears are still popping, but and she's just sick over it. But you know, how does one cope when you come? And I used to have that fear after homelessness for 5 years, and I came to the door and I said, what if I came home and there was no door to open? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'll tell you something, Tubby. And that happens to people. As long as your family members and your pets are all okay, if suddenly you lose everything, there's two ways to look at it. One is all of the precious memories that you've lost and the things that are important to you are, like for me, my 45 RPM records. And that's one way to look at it. But the other way to look at it is, okay, now I have nothing. This is a clean slate. I get to start over. And you concentrate on what you can build rather than what you lost.
And it puts you in a position of being more helpful.
Yeah.
A mindset of how you can be helpful and where you can be helpful and to who you can be helpful to. I believe because I was homeless.
Right.
And my boyfriend could believe when my high school counselor, and they showed up in one of them, like, Frito-Lay little minivans, like the little chips.
Uh-huh.
And after Ma had died, like I said, they were out of town. My three favorite nuns were out of town,
uh-huh,
like on family reunions or something out the country. So they didn't even make Ma's funeral. And they loved her as much as I did. So it was, anyway, so they showed up. So all the pictures that I have now are here.
Right.
Then my baptismal mom, who just passed a couple months ago, she came, so we went one day. I was calling me at the shelter. She said, Tubby, it's time to come and get your stuff.
Yeah.
So I went to their garage, and Lois took me out there, and we got a U-Haul. We put it in storage. So every morning I could walk in and out of my storage. It was
right.
Like a big U-Haul truck and get stuff and da-da-da. And we're not going to the bathroom, freshen up. And they had a big bathroom downstairs. But it is kind of you have to really transition. So shout out to all those people who think that their world is totally, totally shattered because it's not based on material.
No. And they should look at it as it's freeing them from everything that trapped them in the past. It's a new day, and they can just build on it.
They can build on it. And I think that's why I treasure my stories, because all those people gone. Eddie Harris is gone. Elder Young is gone.
Oh, yeah.
Dizzy Gillespie. And I pull them up on YouTube, and I went in there. But I guess the connect is I went in there one day and got a shoebox off the shelf, and it said postcards. And I had postcards from all over the world. The one guy who used to write me postcards for Diz, he said, Diz sends his love.
Oh,
and
that's
then,
great.
LD used to write me from Singapore. He died in Singapore.
Yes.
And I had disconnected with Eddie at the time. I might as well tell the Eddie Harris story right quick. Eddie Harris, now we're down at the jazz club, you know, with what's the guy's name down there? Downtown at the Blackstone. And so after the jazz festival, I used to bring people over there, Daniel Perez for the after set. And it's just, so we're all out in the lobby. Eddie's hanging on to that sax, and I'm sitting there. The place is just packed. So I went there all the time. The bartender, they knew me. So me and the girl, yeah. Jan, sit at the end of the bar. And I don't drink, but when I work in the restaurant, I get a Kahlua and coffee. So anyway, he's telling the guy, Eddie's wife and sister-in-law were already in there sitting down. So he told Joe, he said, that's his name, Joe. He said, if she don't go in, I used to go in. His son used to mm-hmm. let me in free all the time anyway. He said, if she don't go in, I don't play. I said, oh, no.
Yeah.
So anyway, they put me in. As soon as they had those old-fashioned swing chairs with the studs and the cushion on the back and the little gold studs on the seats in the back. And so the bartenders, hey, tell me, they flipped one of those over the bar. It was standing room only, I promise you.
And oh, that's
I got my
great.
Little seat. They gave my Kahlua and coffee, and the jam went on. That was one of my stories. But acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. This one is hard to accept, okay? I'm going to be quick. My dear friend, the one who was my roommate in high school, the one where we knew Leonard Nimoy, where we met Leonard. So anyway, Karen bought a Kia. I'm going to make this quick. She bought a Kia. She paid for the Kia. It broke. It went. And what happened during COVID, she couldn't get the parts in Taiwan.
Mm.
She took out a second note. But I didn't realize it was a note on a used car.
Oh, God.
It was a used Kia. Yeah. It was previous owner was Enterprise, okay?
Okay.
Okay, this happened about 2 weeks ago. The car stopped on her.
Uh-huh.
She had it towed into the Kia place. They told her that it needed a $9,000, did you hear me, $9,000 motor replacement.
No. How many miles did that car have on it?
I didn't get that part because she was so crushed. But I said, okay, this is what I want you to do, Karen, because she was just, she couldn't believe it. And she paid $300 insurance every month, too? But I didn't realize when she got this second Kia that she had a note on it, because I would have told her, just go, if you're going to have a note, get you a new one, okay?
Right.
Don't get a used one. Okay. Anyway, she got she's pretty much financially stable. She had one of those things where you get Social Security and the state. She had worked for the state.
Right.
And Lois had got one of those, too. So I knew two people who mm-hmm. had that kind of retirement benefit. Okay?
Yeah, double dipping.
So she's rich. So they had to pay into it, you know?
Sure.
But anyway, so she's kind of, and then she got the kind of condo where she was responsible for everything. And then we talked about condos, and it's a smaller situation. So you got people that are responsible and irresponsible on your board, okay?
Of course.
I didn't really take care of it. They needed me. Now, are you going to take care of this? And then if you contact it out to a private entity, are they doing what they're supposed to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, coming back, we had the TV go out. They went to the LG TV. This is at Karen's house. We had the furnace go out. We had the washer go out. We had the dishwasher in the kitchen go out.
It is.
This is 2 years. She had replaced all of that. And then when they talk about $9,000, I said, they need to put it in writing. Okay, they got a kid working over during the holidays. And so when she went to tow her car back, because I said, you need to get your car off their property because they're going to start charging you storage.
Agreed.
And I said, get names, dates, and times of everybody that you're in contact with over there and put it down on paper. You got to get it now. You got to go back and don't let them know you're doing it. They would not give her anything in writing to what was wrong with the motor.
Uh-huh. Probably nothing.
To this day. And then if you do get another motor, they're going to give you a rebuild motor. So we're stuck with a Kia parked in the back of our house because you don't know park. You can't park on the streets. Excuse me, at night. You got to have a parking. So she's paying for parking.
Oh, God.
She didn't rent a car. She had hip replacement, double hip replacement. So she was up to walk up 2 miles a day, and we're talking, she's older than me, and I'm 72, okay? So she was doing real good finally. But, you know, so my thing, when I write a new journal, the first line, I got this from AA, acceptance is the answer to all my problems today.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, this woman, is there anyone else she can check? Because it doesn't sound like she needs a $9,000 motor.
She don't need no $9,000 motor. And then when she went to get the car, it was over the holiday, they had this kid that didn't even know how to do the paperwork to release her car on that moment.
Well, hopefully turns out to be something minor.
This is a society we're living in. They're not making stuff to last. I mean, when you have to get out, we're not talking Fords and Chevys anymore. Because I used to just get, I mean, I've driven Alfa Romeos, Mercedes, all of them. But the thing of it is, at the end of the day, for myself personally, I had me some, I get me an A-beater car, 400 cash.
Okay, exactly.
Go to the park and lift up the lid and clean out all the dead leaves.
Yeah.
Check the coils, check them black things, check the coils, the black rubber things, and check the clamps, okay? Because if you take it to a repair person, okay, here's the clicker right here, which are not around anymore. The people, those people, the car mechanics in the garage and the driveway, are not around anymore.
Correct. Well, and the other thing is, on new cars, they have to have equipment to test things that most people don't have.
Exactly. So we're going into a whole new level of everything.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And don't get me started. Don't ask the person about a map. I love cartography. And these young people, if they can't press a button on their phone, they are lost. Like you said, they can't text.
No, they can speak. They speak into their phone and they look at the answers or they hear the answers. Yes, it's frightening.
And y'all talking about AI. I'm like, AI? I'm not trying to learn.
Yeah.
Nothing more. I got this phone and I got the free phone. And I'm just over it. I'm over it with all of you.
Right. No, I understand that. It's like, I know enough already. Thank you very much.
That's what they say in Pittsburgh, yuns. Yuns.
Yeah. Yuns. Yuns, of course.
Time for bed.
That's right.
It's time for bed, girls.
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's time for bed. But I want to shout out to Marge and Fran, Jim James and Johnny D. Y'all keep the faith. You know, this is, I believe we're in a transitionary state. And then the last thing I want to comment on is the fact that when I started doing serious Bible study, I figured if we're supposed to be saved and we got eternity, you should be thinking eternity as you live this passageway that you're in right now. Because the older I get, there's more funerals. And I'm totally baffled, Wallace, so I'm not even going to talk about it. All I know is what I got. I know I called Riley and John tonight. That's all I know. Okay?
Works for me.
Blessings, babe.
All right. Talk to you soon. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Laura in Willow Brook, who's got some requests. And we will play Sam. But no, we did play Sam, I think. Danny from Oak Park will play his request coming next on WGN Radio.
And draw.
Yes, Jerry Butler and the Impressions for Your Precious Love, originally on Falcon, and when BJ found out there was a Falcon label, they changed the name to Abner, but originally 1958 on Falcon, and Danny and Oak Park wanted to hear it. So, Laura and Willowbrook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Rowie.
What's
up? Having a great day in this frigid weather. Holy cow.
Well, good.
I think it's going to be below zero today, but that's okay. We can handle it.
Yes,
we're Midwestern.
That's right.
Okay. I wonder if you could play two songs for me one of these days. I'm just, these two of my, kind of my favorite Commodore song, Sail On.
Okay.
And I'm really into the Pointer Sisters. I love the I'm So Excited. Could you play that one of these days, too?
Sure. Happy to.
Okay, thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Stay warm out there, everybody, in the cold weather.
Yes, and I think that's everywhere right now. You know, it is winter. We might as well expect it.
You got it.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Rally.
Yeah,
bye.
You know, talking to people in Florida earlier, it's so cold. Talking to people in Arizona, it's freezing. Well, of course, it's all relative. It's nothing compared to Chicago, but it is winter. So I keep these cool days in mind when it's the summer and 120 degrees. So 888-876-5593. Let's find out what's going on in the world at large and get right back to it on WGN Radio.
Ladies, as you can see, I'm an old man. And as an old man, I don't need very much. A little water every once in a while, a sandwich now and then, and no sex. But now there's one thing that I do require, and that is a little conversation every now and then. So to keep me happy, just talk to me. Talk to me. Oh, I love the things you say. Talk to me.
I'm Rotley James. Sam and Gurney likes that. I think we requested about a year ago. Happy to play it again. Jimmy Burns, Talk to Me. It's from a 1996 album on Delmark, Leaving Here Walking. And yeah, a fine version, but that's one of those songs that there are very few bad ones. All right, so here's the deal. How old is it for you to leave a child alone at home? What age? I'm asking this for a question. Now, how old, or how young, I should say, can a child be to be babysitting? Now, of course, there are state laws about leaving kids alone, and the Department of Children and Families, DCF, usually has some stringent rules. Well, in Florida, the Sunshine State doesn't have any minimum age requirements for leaving a child home alone, but DCF says that parents should not leave them alone until they're at least 12 years old. And they're saying at age of 12, yes, you can leave them home alone. And so it is that a Baltimore couple who were in Miami celebrating some birthdays down on South Beach a while ago, they had some kids. Their kids were 12 years old, 11 years old, 5 years old, and 2 years old. Okay. They go out clubbing. Well, at some time, I guess the 12, 11, and 5-year-old kids went to sleep. The 2-year-old girl left the room, and she was wandering around a Miami Beach hotel at 3 in the morning in a wet swimsuit top and a diaper. And they, you know, obviously, when she was found, it was a police officer who turned into instant dad and took care of the child and got DCF involved. And charges were filed. Now, I don't know the outcome of this. I've tried to find that. It's one of those things where, you know, you hear the story and then that's all you ever hear. But, and the parents were, you know, obviously very apologetic and very, you know, very grieved, saying it was a small tragic mistake. I really heard about it. I don't know what we can do. We've done a lot of crying. And every time we see pictures, we cry. So the siblings and the 2-year-old are all taken from the family. Now, what I'm wondering here is, when I first heard the story that a 2-year-old is in the hotel hallways screaming Mama, Papa at 3 in the morning, yeah, that's a real problem, and some parents need to be taken to task. But if the parents are leaving a 12-year-old in charge, and the state guidelines say at 12 this is acceptable behavior, why'd they take all the kids? So, yeah, because the 12-year-old fell asleep? Yeah, now I'm not here to, you know, say that I have any idea at what age you should leave children alone, and I also think it depends on the child and the maturity level and everything else. But it seems to me that if the state guidelines are such that a 12-year-old is acceptable, then why did DCF take all the kids? I don't know, but I was looking at one of the many articles that James sent, and really makes you wonder. At least it does me. So AI voice cloning, now warnings are issued by banks because you know, they're seeing again accounts raided and things of this nature. So be careful, and certainly, whatever you do, verify. Don't take any caller's word for anything. And like we were talking about before, about the cases where AI is impersonating your child or grandchild, have a safe word. Have some word that only the child or the family member is aware. Nothing that you ever commit to digitally, write down on anything, but just something that is, you know, over the top different, that you expect that person to utter that word. And if they don't, well, that's good. Now, of course, possible, I guess they get that too somehow, but I think you're still going to go pretty far if you do something else like that. So now, the fires, of course, finger pointing. It's just amazing how everybody's pointing at everybody into what's going on with fires in Southern California. Well, now the latest finger pointing is the rich and the famous are hiring $2,000 an hour private firefighters to protect $1 million homes. Well, firstly, I'm not sure that they found any. This is all based upon an ad that somebody put in terms of looking for private firefighters to help with their house. I don't know that they actually found somebody. But you have a number of people who are saying that that this is just ridiculous. You also have a number of people who can't go home. You know, they left when there was a curfew, but they not a curfew, but evacuation orders. At this point, maybe flames are down where they are. They want to see what do they have as far as a home or whatever. They're not being allowed back in. And that seems to me problematic. And I understand why you might not do that. But when I first heard that and just saw some interviews with people literally in tears that they couldn't get back to their property, I thought to myself, if it was hard to get people to evacuate now, yeah, everybody who's watching this on television, will they evacuate next time? Yeah, and of course they should, but you look at that and wonder. And of course you've got all sorts of stories, like I say, finger pointing all the way around, but also a lot of breath holding right now because originally it was forecast that the Santa Anas would be back today, Tuesday, but they didn't. You know, Mother Nature has her own timetable. And so now they're figuring that the wind should start picking up about 3 in the morning and go through 3 in the afternoon tomorrow at, you know, fairly high rates. And everybody's wondering what will happen there. And we'll see, obviously. So 888-876-5593, 8888 Raleigh. So let's see. We got another class action lawsuit. Oh, yeah, I know. The ones where the claimants and the lawyers get hundreds of millions and you get $28.75. Well, apparently, if you were charged a surcharge to withdraw cash from a bank in the United States, an ATM, you might benefit from a $197.5 million settlement. And some of those settlements might be more than a couple dollars. We'll see. I was reading another one. I've got to find it here, where they were actually expecting that people in the class would get, you know, something like $8,500. I don't remember the circumstance. I'll try to find that, but it sure seems to me like that would be worth filing the paperwork. So other things going on. Well, let's see. Of course, Carol, the world's best show prep all the way around. She saves me more times than I can possibly tell you. And tomorrow night, by the way, we'll tell you more about Sam Moore and all of that stuff. Lots to talk about that way. But I jumped the gun and played all your requests tonight. We got one more coming. And then, of course, more on Thursday. Thursday, we're a half hour late, by the way, because it is the Blackhawks. So expect us to start at 10:30 Central. But other than that, and Monday, I think we might be a little late. I've got a list somewhere. Let me look. I don't know if that's accurate, but I've got a list. All right. What does it say? No, it says absolutely nothing. All right. Let me go to the WGN Radio site and see what it says, because WGNRadio.com is a great site. And if you ever want to know when I'm being preempted, you go to weekday and then upcoming guests and sports, and that will tell you when there are preemptions. So like Thursday, as I mentioned, expect me to be on about 10:30. And then Monday, expect me to be on at 11. So we'll miss an hour. So it'll be 2 hours of Monday Night Trivia, and we've got a straggler. I'll be on at 10 on Tuesday, Wednesday, and on Thursday next week. So this Thursday, a half hour preemption, and Monday, an hour preemption. But that's the whole ball of wax there. So not a lot. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. We can talk about most anything, as long as it has no great import whatsoever, because we try to leave the important stuff off our plates at night and just talk about the fact that it is Organize Your Home Day. I mentioned that earlier. It's not a holiday I plan to celebrate. Now, tomorrow is Bagel and Lox Day and Strawberry Ice Cream Day. You know, I don't like any of those, but I'll eat. Well, maybe. And January 16th is Nothing Day. And I don't know about you, but I do nothing better than anyone else. I am just a whiz at nothing. Now, Sunday was Marzipan Day. We missed that. I could have celebrated, but no. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And we've got Jim in Richmond who has a request, always frightening. All right, so Jim, how you feeling?
I'm going to the eye doctor tomorrow.
Good.
And I will give you an update on that.
Okay.
And I don't think there's enough time, but I had three incidents with my three kids where they were left alone because they became latchkey and they were all in elementary. And I probably will tell you about that tomorrow because it's pretty intense.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear
and,
about it.
Right, and you're talking, you know, my son putting his wrist through the back screen doors and cutting his tendons and a bunch of other things. And I probably tell you tomorrow with the results of my visit.
Okay.
And I also wanted to thank everyone who's been mentioning me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
And then my request, I don't know the name of the song, but if it's on your playlist, it's As Time Goes By, I Realize Just What You Mean to Me.
Oh, yeah, it's Chicago. I'm not going to play it.
Oh, okay.
What else?
That was it.
Okay.
I thought of it today.
Yeah, I draw the line at that. You know, that's one of those things that was a very, very, very big hit. You can hear that anywhere.
Right, but I was just, you know, all of a sudden it popped in my head today. I have a few other things to tell you, but you don't have that much time left, so I will call tomorrow.
Okay, and by the way, the song you want to hear, which I'm not going to play, is called Color My World.
Oh, yeah, that's now that I think about it, That was our first dance at our wedding.
Well, there you are. All right. Well, no wonder there was a divorce. All right. Very good. 1970. Right. Talk to you later. Okay,
talk
bye.
Talk to you later. Bye.
All right. So, no, that's not right. I mean, obviously, these are hits. People loved them. People paid money for this. And I'd be willing probably to pay money not to hear it. All right. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. So that's the last request we'll be playing tonight. And who wanted that, actually? It was, JT and Aurora wanted to hear that. Hit in 1963, recorded in 1962 on SPQR Records. It's interesting. SPQR was Frank Guida's label, that and LeGrand. And actually, when I say LeGrand, you're probably thinking, and rightfully so, Gary U.S. Bonds. Well, he was offered this record. And I'm not singing that. All right, so they got Jimmy Soul in instead. Now, what's interesting is if you look at the record, it'll say that it's written by Guida and Royster, which is Frank Guida and Joseph Royster. All right, well, not exactly. This song was actually written by Rafael de Leon, and this was written in 1934. I think it was a Trinidad Calypso song, and I think the Roaring Lion did it, and it was Rafael de Leon who was actually in the group, and he wrote it in 1934. It went to number one on the Hot 100 in 1963, as well as the R&B singles chart. So I assume that either at some point Rafael de Leon or his estate got some royalties out of it. I hope so anyway. I don't know. What I do know is, I know nothing, but what I almost know is, like I say, the writers were credited as Frank Guida and Joe Royster. Now, Joe Royster is one of those mysteries. I have absolutely no idea. So let me explain. Joe Royster was a collaborator with Frank Guida and wrote with a few other people as well. And he was living in Jacksonville, spent a lot of time obviously in Norfolk, where Frank Guida's record label was. In February of 1973, he left Jacksonville for a trip to Las Vegas. That's it. No one ever saw him anywhere after that. Finally, in 2002, he was declared legally dead. Yeah, so, right. Almost 30 years there, yeah, you'd think that that's probably a problem. But what happened? And I've never heard anything in terms of what happened other than, you know, left Jacksonville, never showed up in Las Vegas. So there's a story there somewhere, and maybe we'll never know it, but it would be interesting if we did. All right, so what do we have as far as this date in history? We had some actually interesting things that I've since lost completely. They're here somewhere. Birthdays and stuff like that. Yeah, a resplendent group of birthdays Monday and Tuesday. Clarence Carter would have turned, would have turned 89, burying him, for God's sakes, he's alive. Clarence Carter turned 89 today. born in Montgomery, Alabama, and went to, in 1936, went to school, Alabama School for the Blind, and got a Bachelor of Science in Music from Alabama State College, and originally started with a friend, Calvin Scott. They were Clarence and Calvin, and sadly, Calvin died in a car wreck. Clarence went solo. And had a hit, well, not a hit, had a song, definitely not a hit, not even close, called Tell Daddy. Well, Etta James responded with Tell Mama, which became a big hit. And by the way, Clarence Carter did get the writer credit. And Clarence had been married to Candy Staten briefly. In fact, their son Clarence Carter Jr. is from that marriage. Jack Jones would have been 87 today, born in 1938 in Hollywood, died last year, a few months ago, last October, I think, of leukemia, 86 years old. His dad was Alan Jones, the Donkey Serenade, and his mother was an actress of no repute. I have no idea. Irene something. But anyway, Jack Jones, of course, all that Burt Bacharach and David Hal David theme songs like Lollipop and Roses, yes, and Wives and Lovers, yeah, which my particular fave always got everybody upset. He also did the Love Boat theme. Yeah. Ken Knox, of Chairman of the Board, turned 73 yesterday. Born in Charleston in 1952, but grew up in Detroit, and he played with the Detroit Emeralds, Ivy Joe Hunter, and that's Ivy Joe Hunter, by the way, not Ivory, and Junie Morrison, and then joined Chairman of the Board when General Johnson was up there and formed that group, and there you go. So, all right, and he's still with us. In fact, he's on tour. February 1st, you can see him in Kannapolis, North Carolina. That's basically Charlotte suburb. And on Valentine's Day, the Reeves Theater and Cafe in Elkin, North Carolina. Bobby Lester of the Moonglows would have been 95 yesterday. Yeah, born in 1930 in Louisville. That's where he and Harvey Fuqua started out as a duo. And then Fuqua moved to Cleveland, and Lester caught up with them. The Crazy Sounds was the first group, and Alan Freed was their manager, hence the moon motif. The Moon Glows, of course, had to change that. And, yes, Bobby Lester, you're saying, gee, I don't know much about him. Sure you do. He sang lead on Sincerely, which was the big, big hit, obviously. Well, I should say that, but of course, sadly, that was another thing where probably the McGuire sisters or something had a bigger cover with it. But nonetheless, killer, killer record. And that was their first Chess single. And he went solo in 1959, had his own Moonglows group, and reunited occasionally with Harvey. And he died in 1980 of cancer, just 49 years old. All right. What else? Grady Tate would have been 93 today. And yeah, born in Durham, North Carolina, and a soul jazz drummer, in case you don't know. But yeah, and we're talking big names here. Played for Stan Getz and Quincy Jones and Astrid Gilberto and Count Basie and Ella Fitzgerald. So yeah. But probably best known for his vocals in Schoolhouse Rock, I Got Six, Naughty Number Nine from Multiplication Rock, and Fireworks from American Rock. And he was a faculty member at Howard and died in 2017 in New York City. Sadly, Alzheimer's disease. He was 85. Yeah, Alan Toussaint would have been 87 today. Oh, man. Yeah, New Orleans' own. And born right in New Orleans. Died in Madrid, Spain. And I assume, well, I don't know. I was assuming he was on tour or something like that, but it was a heart attack. He was 77 years old. And boy, did he ever write a lot of great stuff. Fred White of Earth, Wind, and Fire would have turned 70 yesterday. Yeah, sadly, that's would have been. Died New Year's Day 2023, just 67 years old. C.P. Spencer of the Originals and the Detroit Spinners would have been 87 yesterday, born in Detroit. What else do we have? Well, let's see. On this date in 1955, Alan Freed debuted his first rock and roll ball in New York City. Yeah, oh man, those concerts were fraught with problems, but they also were very legendary for other things. It was at the St. Nicholas Arena in Harlem, 6,000 seats. Yeah, probably six closer to 8,000 people standing in line. It's a long story, but they were both sellouts well in advance. Big Joe Turner, the Clovers, Fats Domino, the Moonglows, the Drifters, and the Harptones. On this date in 1957, Eddie Fisher signed a $1 million deal with the Tropicana in Las Vegas. Yeah, it was new at that time. Now it's gone. But he was going to appear, and I guess he did, for a minimum of 4 weeks a year for 5 years, and they were giving him $1 million. Can you name an Eddie Fisher record you're willing to hear? This show's over, I can tell it. We've denigrated to Eddie Fisher. We'll be back 20 hours from now. Until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Do it again tomorrow. Maybe do it more often tomorrow. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.